take action. Do not overanalyze. You know, you can read books, you can listen to podcasts, and, you know, you can consume as much content as you want to, but nothing will beat actually getting off the bench and actually getting your hands dirty.
Hey, freedom fighters, welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson.
Hey, ADPI Nation, Kevin here. Before we start this week's show, I want to take a quick second to talk about systems. The business systems that you put in place will determine your success and your financial future. Well, I got news for you. No one teaches you these systems, not in school, and unfortunately not in the military either. That's why the ADPI team banded together to create the best and most comprehensive system that anyone out there, no matter their level, could learn from and build upon. We call it our Military Real Estate Investing Academy. Our 80 plus lesson course will take you from real estate newbie to full-fledged military real estate investor and action taker. Click the link in the show notes and use code ATOM, A-T-O-M, at checkout for $300 off today. That's code ATOM, A-T-O-M, for $300 off today. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. Here we are again with another incredible guest. We've got a military real estate investor on the line. His name is Johnny Lynam. He's an Air Force veteran, and he is actively out there crushing foreclosures. We're going to get into about the foreclosure process, how you can take advantage of foreclosure opportunities, and really beef up your real estate portfolio if this is something that you're interested in. So make sure that you stay all the way to the end of this, because this is going to be an incredible episode. Johnny, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Great to be here today, man.
Great to have you here for sure, man. This is going to be crazy. I'm loving it. Kev, what's happening, brother?
A lot is happening. It's 2021. So we're recording this right now. It's January 2nd, 2021. And, you know, this will come out in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. But we've been going through a lot of goal setting. We've been going through a lot of focus on the internal team of Active Duty Passive Income, which is really exciting. And then I also want to foot stomp here. We're in this episode, we're also going to touch on, maybe do a little bit of speculation, maybe do a little bit of where the market is going to be in the next two quarters as forbearance comes to an end. We're going to talk about Congress's new bill that was signed into law that includes $25 billion in rental assistance to landlords.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So if you're interested about this, about what you know, what the lawmakers are doing down the street from me here in D.C., then tune in for that. So, but without further ado, Johnny, can you just jump in and just hit us with your military background, man?
Yep. So came into the Air Force 2005 via ROTC, so University of Alabama Roll Tide. Woo!
Roll Tide. So,
yeah, it's a good time right now. But I've been in the service a little bit over 15 years. I guess for the Army side, my MOS, I'm an acquisition officer, 6-2 Echo, and done some career broadening as an intel officer. So kind of all over the place, a couple of deployments here and there, and been a hell of a career. And, you know,
and you're still in, right?
Yeah, I'm still in. Still in.
Okay, you're still in. Okay,
awesome. Okay, cool.
Yep, just PCS to the Northern Virginia area, and excited. A lot of opportunity here as well.
Oh, you're down the street from me then.
Yeah.
What up? We got to hang out, dude.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
That's awesome, man. Love it. So tell us about, you know, this transition that you've had with real estate, or not necessarily a transition, because you're still in, right? But what gave you that bug of real estate, you know, having been a service member, focused on the mission, right? And then now all of a sudden, real estate is your thing.
For me, it was the first house I got after my first year. Good friend of mine, another lieutenant buddy of mine, he's like, hey, man, we need to get out these apartments. I found a duplex for sale. You buy one side, I buy one. And I was paying like $725 a month for rent. And after my mortgage, insurance, and taxes, it was like $475. So I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Cool.
And, you know, so after that, I was able to rent the place off when I PCS. And, you know, to this day, I've been had that place for over 10 years. And I haven't been back once, had to set foot back in there. And only had two tenants across the 10-year span. So been blessed from that standpoint. But it just opened to my eyes of having an asset, having tenants that could actually pay down the mortgage over time, build up appreciation, and then have a monthly cash flow after all the bills are paid. And so that kind of sparked my interest. And then after that, you know, just seeking out, you know, meetups, real estate investor association groups, wherever I PCS to, other like-minded investors. And then here most recently, you know, jumping in different mastermind groups and attending conferences has just been a game changer for me.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. I think everyone has that friend, you know, there's always that friend or that book or that something that sparks them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's interesting that, I mean, I wish I found that friend or that person years before, like when I was a second lieutenant, I was such an idiot, but like, you know, you had that guy and it could have been because you were in acquisitions and you're buying and selling. And and I think Mike, wherever you are, those birds are chirping and it sounds so freaking peaceful and beautiful. And this must be Hawaii.
It is incredible, man. You hear the birds chirping in the background. I mean, this is just, it's awesome.
2021 is going to be awesome. If these birds are chirping, I'm loving it. I'm just sitting here. I'm just like,
in the tone.
But yeah. So Johnny, you started, you know, house hacking, sounds like, for house hacking.
Yep.
And then you came in and at what point did you, cause now you're kind of specializing in foreclosure. So kind of walk us along that path from, where you started with that first duplex to kind of finding your path with real estate. Cause we all know, Mike and I both know that real estate investing, like there's just so much information out there and you can take literally 1,000 different paths and that stops a lot of people from taking any paths.
You're right. And, you know, in the books and, you know, just that analysis paralysis just slows you down. The big thing for me on the foreclosure front, I left my first duty station, went to Intel school 8 months. So I did buy there. But when I got to my next duty station, I was actually looking to rent an apartment. And I was staying with some buddies. We went through Intel school. We both got assigned to Langley Air Force Base. So we were there together. And I was talking to a neighbor, retired. He was a retired Army guy. And he said, why are you going to rent downtown? He's like, buy a place. You're going to leave here. Somebody's going to be moving in PCS in here and they're going to need somewhere to stay too. He was like, and you know, and I already knew that, but I was scared to pull the trigger. And I was like, I already got one house, but he changed that mindset. And with that, you know, I started looking around, talked to a realtor and I found out about HUD Home Store. And so I was able to find a HUD foreclosure. I think we painted one room in the house. Carpet was fine. You know, there wasn't a whole lot. The roof was fine, you know, so we passed inspection and we were able to use the VA loan again for a second time. And
there you go.
And it was perfect. And we actually got in with equity, you know, so this was 2011 timeframe. So there was a lot of foreclosures in the marketplace. And so it was a great opportunity to build up some equity over time.
Can you share some numbers with us on this? Because I always love hearing numbers of foreclosures. It makes me feel real bad about myself.
Oh, for sure. So this one we bought for $218, no money down, 100% VA loan financing. And I think our mortgage was probably around $1,300 a month. And when we left, we were renting the place out for around $1,850. And subsequently, nice. I sold that asset in December of 2018. And we sold it for, I think, $266.
Nice.
Wow. And that's so awesome, man.
It worked out. Good. It worked out real well. And, you know, and that was the start of that one. We left that duty station, bought another foreclosure and in 2013. So that was a little bit over 2 years later. Found one here in the D.C. area outside Chantilly. We found a 1700 square foot condo that was on the same website, HUDHomestore.gov. We actually bought that one sight unseen. We were still in the Newport News area. The realtor went and walked it, gave us a video, put it on YouTube, and we put an offer in the same day, full price, and we got it. And we still have that one to this day. And it was funny. So bought a new foreclosure here 2 months ago with this recent PCS here in 2020. And we actually had to refinance out of the VA loan in order to get my entitlement back to reuse it again for this other
property. Right.
And it worked out well. And that one actually, so from 2013 to now, it actually increased over $70,000 in value with the appraisal that we had.
Wow.
Okay.
That's wild. So, yeah. So these foreclosures, I think we should start off. What is a foreclosure for people who have people have heard like, oh man, my house went into foreclosure. You hear people, can you just break down kind of what that is for someone who's like, not quite sure?
Yeah. Essentially a foreclosure is, someone's bought a property, they have a mortgage and they default on it. Whereas if they just stop paying for and a lot of times, a person can lose a job, a husband who's the only breadwinner can pass away and the wife doesn't have to pay for. So there's a lot of, life challenges that happen to people that drive them into a foreclosure. So it's not necessarily a negative stigma, because a lot of situations people, they don't just a dirt bag, just stop paying their mortgage. There could be something that really happened.
Right.
And we can go to the pre-foreclosure piece. We're trying to help people prevent foreclosure, something that we do on our end too, to get distressed assets before the bank gets them. But after that, 90 days, if you have made your mortgage payment, the bank, they filed either list pendants or notice of default at the courthouse. And that kind of starts the foreclosure process. And it could go from 6 months before they foreclose and the sheriff asks you to leave and you have to vacate. Or it could be up to, I've seen, 3 years in some states. So it just, the laws are different in every state. And just on that time frame for how soon before they actually have the foreclosure. And a lot of times it's an auction at the courthouse steps, or a lot of them that are more advanced now, they actually have the auctions online.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the foreclosures, investors would go after foreclosure because they're able to get a home, kind of like on sale. If that's not the right word for it, but you're getting, because the whole thing, guys, if you're listening to this, it's when a house forecloses, for whatever reason, the bank will ultimately end up owning that property.
Right.
The problem is that the banks don't want to own property.
They don't.
Banks are in the business of banking. They are not in the business of owning houses. Exactly. So what do? They compile all these things together and they freaking fire sale them. Now, from what Johnny does is he's savvy enough to know when these auctions are going down, where they're going down, and what assets. And you can actually, depending on the state and where you're at, you can get lists ahead of time. You might not be able to go and see the property. You might not be able to go inside it or anything like that. But if something pops up and you can see something, and drive by it maybe, or looking on Google Maps or something, be like, this market, and this is a good deal. And oh, by the way, it's 30% off. Okay, let's go. What's stopping you?
Right. That is it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of times, though, it depends on the financing. You can be creative with your financing.
Yep.
Whether you want to move into it, or maybe you want to do it as a fix and flip or buy and hold rental. There's different ways that you can get the finance. And I tell people, if you're moving there, you can live in it. VA loan is perfect. If it's not in too dire straits, if it's not completely dilapidated and just neglected, it may be hard to get the VA to sign off on inspection. But a lot of them, they'll work with you. You can get in. This one we just moved in, the roof was only 2 years old. They had put a roof on it to try to sell it, the previous owners. And then they actually, the bank took it over, deed in lieu of foreclosure. So they just kind of came to terms together and they gave them the keys and walked away.
That's unfortunate.
Wow.
There are a lot of crazy situations like you alluded to, right? That help, lead to foreclosure. I'm not going to really say help, but so tell us a little bit, because you kind of said that you also do a little bit on the pre-foreclosure side, helping out, homeowners. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen and what you've done in that regard. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of deals that we've done in the past where they were pre-foreclosure. The bank had posted the notice of default. They hadn't paid the mortgage in 90 days. And, you know, the information is public information at your courthouse. You can pay different websites, data providers that can give you that data as it's filed in the courthouse. And then just, you know, you can just log into your platform and see it. So there's different ways to get that, but it's public data. And, you know, what we do, we actually just sent out 30 here in our local area where we just moved to, that you get the address, you get the information, you can get a skip trace, you know, and get a phone number. And we send a letter in the mail. And these are all auctions that are about to happen within 30 to 45 days. So time is of the essence. And so you can send text messages, you know, call, get them on the phone. If you're really bold, you can go and knock on the door. I've done that before. But you got to be, if you're coming from a place of help and authentic, it was weird. You know, I was talking to the homeowner at the door and his truck had rolled by. He was like, yeah. This guy, he was a former Marine veteran. Wife had passed away and he was at peace with it. He was like, yeah, I'm letting it go. We don't have that much equity in it. He's like, you know, he's like, at least you came up to the door. He said, you see that truck there? He's been riding by here 3 or 4 times. And he's like, there's so many people just been coming by, you know, traffic. There's people because they know it's on the auction. It's on the list. And so people are driving by looking at the house, you know, but it's really a person behind every real estate transaction. And so it's really, you know, they may call you, they may not. Some of you can get them on the phone. Because it can be embarrassing. They're not really talking to their friends or family about what's going on with it. And a lot of people, they're in denial up until the last minute. And a lot of times, you know, people, they just go down with it and thinking that, you know, hey, I can get something to work out with the lender. I can get a loan from the bank and pay it off or whatever it is. But a lot of times, you know, if they're not paying their mortgage, then they're probably behind on other bills. And so subsequently, you know, they're gonna take a hit on their credit report, too. But, you know, but reaching out to people and, you know, if there's equity in there and, you know, it's an opportunity where if you bring in a hard money lender, if it's a, you know, 300, 400 or even more in the D.C. market for us to which you may have to pay off the mortgage with their existing mortgage balance and come in with a hard money lender and you get your renovation money. And a lot of times you can get 100% renovation financing from the hard money lenders right now. And you pay off the mortgage and then you can give them, depending on how much the spread is, you know, you can give them $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 of the equity, you know, share the equity with the homeowner to get them on their feet. So if they need to go get an apartment, you know, go find a house to rent, money to pack up their stuff and get a truck, move it, all that kind of stuff, that you can be creative with that to, you know, to make it a win-win situation. Because with all this, whether it's pre-foreclosure or buying a house just for somebody selling, it's got to be a win-win and work for everybody.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And I love that solutions first mindset because that's what, you know, you mentioned it, it's relationships and there's people behind these houses. They're people, they're families, there's impact.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, like you said, the people are just driving by and it's kind of like the people are just like kicking tires when you're trying to sell your car, you know, they just drive by and they'll, you know, but they're not actually providing a solution. Right. And I feel like when you're approaching these folks, you know, there's a level of empathy that you need, but you're also trying to help them out. And that equity sharing model, I really, really do love that. That's a creative way to help people out and get them. They're in a bad situation. Let me make it slightly better. Let's kind of clean the slate. Here's a couple grand, 10, 15 grand. That'll house you, you know, in an apartment for almost a year or something, depending on where you're at. Like that, you know, that's a really great thing. So thank you, Johnny. That's
and the big thing. I didn't say it, but it saves their credit report. They don't have their foreclosure on their credit report.
That is also true. That's huge
because that'll stay there for about, what, 7 years, 7.5 years, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
And that'll stop you from getting, you know, if you are trying to get back on your feet, good luck, you know, getting a car loan, getting, you know, anything that leverages your personal credit. That's a great thing. So really love that. Yeah, that's really, really powerful. So you're in the DC area, but you've done this, Johnny, you've done this everywhere you PCS, you kind of look at these foreclosures. What kind of operation do you have now? Cause I assume you've kind of grown this out and everything.
Yeah. So we kind of, you know, after we did our first flip, Alexandria, Virginia, 2015, learned a heck of a lot. It was a Bank of America foreclosure and, way high price point. We were successful. We made like 15 grand. And we had like a 70,000 renovation budget. We had black mold, a pool and everything. Learned a ton of a lot. I had a great GC. She was a former architect and she taught me a lot about the whole process. And we started doing investing at a distance in Birmingham, Alabama, where my wife is from. Just kind of 2 a year, you know, finish one, sell it, then get another one. And we kind of kept going that model until 2017. I got to Florida, down to Tyndall Air Force Base, and deployed 6 months after I got there. So really didn't get things going. But after I got back, 3 weeks later, we got hit by Hurricane Michael. We were displaced 6 months. Mm-hmm. And after the hurricane, wow, got back in our house, and we kind of hit the ground running, because there's a lot of impacted homes and homeowners. They got settlements from the insurance company, but they kept the money and sold the houses as is in the Panama City market. And so we were able to buy a lot of houses. Wow. And I say a lot. We ended up doing 9 deals that year in 2019. And that kind of got our business going. And we're still working through that right now. We have one that's selling on Tuesday that we're closing. And have one under contract that we're going to be closing later in the month of January. That'll be a next project. And yeah, and it's been a blessing. You know, that situation, that tragedy that impacted the area, you know, it was a lot of bad that with it. But through the bad, we were able to turn that into a good thing. And it birthed our business, you know, with what we're doing right now. We've been able to provide, you know, updated housing to the area. There's still the shortage of housing supply in the market, giving people quality houses. Mm-hmm. You know, we kept some as rentals, and then providing jobs with the contractors there and everything. So it was a lot of good that came from it. And homeowners got rid of a house that was busted up that they didn't want anymore. They got the cash they wanted, and yeah, they found them a house to move into or relocated out of the area. And it was way less stress and pressure off them.
Right. Right.
Totally.
That's incredible, man.
Finding opportunity when things go bad, and that's a testament. And for the listeners, Johnny is still active duty.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're out there, you're active duty, and you think that you can't do what he's doing,
come on,
you can. Like, that's the exciting part. You're still active. How many years until retirement?
4.5.
You have 5 years, something like that. Yeah. 4.5. Who's counting?
Yeah. Good, man. That's good.
How do you become a successful military real estate investor? It starts with having a strong squad and trustworthy mortgage broker by your side. Hey guys, Kevin here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to help you fill out your real estate investment dream team. Whether you're looking to fund your first VA house hack, close on an out-of-state turnkey investment, or just have a conversation with a lender who speaks your language, make sure you reach out to ADPI's team of qualified mortgage pros. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team is standing by to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes, or simply text DEAL, D-E-A-L, to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
I would love to talk to you about what systems you put in place too, Johnny, because I think that's that also speaks volumes to how you're able to do this job while active duty, right? Because I'm sure there's a lot of you know, conflict of time and whatnot with certain things, right? And or maybe there's not, right? Maybe you just have your system so well that you don't really see that conflict, right? Maybe you're just working on weekends. So can you share us a little bit about, you know, how you maybe time block, or how you integrate your system in your investing with what you're doing?
Yeah, sure, no problem, man. And the big linchpin is my wife. You know, my wife is stay at home with our 3 kids, and she helps a lot for us. The Home Depot purchases, they call during the day. She takes right care of that. And my contractor team, hands down, we've had a set of guys, and that's a whole other story. I found them putting out bandit signs. I saw a guy walking out with some sheetrock to the curb. I was like, let's stop. Let's talk to them, because I was getting estimates for a deal that we had on the contract. And talked to the guy. He didn't speak English. And so he pointed me to the back. And this is when I met my guy, Lameness. Lameness Santiago has been operating kind of as my GC. He's been on all 9 of those projects. And then the 3 projects that we've done here in 2020 in department building, that he's been my go-to guy and kind of orchestrates it all. So for me, I get off work, I swing by a project in the evening, probably 3-4 times a week if I need to. You know, if we're going to go meet with a homeowner or something, I'll stop on my way home, or, you know, the family's with me. And that's the thing, I incorporated the families. You know, my kids are in a lot of the pictures with the houses. Nice. You know, we're going to appointments together. You know, they love it, you know, and a lot of people, they love the kids and children and everything. So it's a family thing that we do together. And I think that's why it hasn't been as intrusive. But the systems, you know, with, hey, you know, we use the same paint color, we use the same type of flooring, we use the same vanities that we're going to put in the bathroom, you know. And my contractors, they know what I like to do. They're like, hey, we're going to repurpose the kitchen cabinets. They just need a coat of paint, new countertops, and we're good, you know. And we know we have our standard roofer contractor that comes in, does all our roofing. And if we need an electrician, we have an electrical company that can pull the permits and do the electrical work. And so you don't have to think about it. You know, it's all right there in the paper on Excel, who to call, you know, they can call them, you know, and just working. And so I built it that way because I had a job. So I had to put those systems and think about it, you know, whereas that I'm not being bogged down with the mundane stuff of trying to choose the color of paint every time we do a house, that we kind of keep it the same.
Right.
We know what works well in our market and we just kind of, you know, roll with it.
Love it, man. Outstanding. Having that team in place is what I'm hearing, right? You got a team in place that helps you outsource. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah. And that's just the contractor team.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, no, you know, and it, yeah, yeah, no, it's the systems say, too. It that's so important to have in place, because once you do one or two, like you said, I bet you have this Excel spreadsheet that has like all the exact materials if you get them from Home Depot or the numbers and everything and exactly how much you need, and you can get it down to kind of to like a science. You're going to learn so much. And then if you think about it with systematization, I can't speak. Is that a word? Is that even a word?
Whatever.
Systems first. Yeah, that's it. There you go. So if you think about it like systems first and think about, okay, if I want to repeat this process, what's the easiest way? What's the least path of resistance? Do that. Do what Johnny did. And you'll be able to do this while you're active duty, while you're PCSing. And I love how you incorporate the family, because that's awesome. Then it's a family affair.
Yep.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, in the whole system piece, and that's one of the things going into this year that I'm looking to doing is just networking more and being able to be a vehicle for people to get a deal done that, hey, I got a deal. But we all know the number one barrier to getting a deal done is finance. A lot of times don't have the upfront capital. And so that's one thing that I'm doing is, you know, now bring it on people that, hey, if you're interested with a deal, bring me the deal. I'll get the finance. I'll finance it. I'll teach you how to do project management and we'll do 50-50 on it. And you get to learn along the way, you know, pick up the systems and stuff. And then, hey, you know, 6 months, a year, and you're good to go. You know, but that's less time on me. I talk to you once a week and train you, and boom, you execute your boots on the ground. And, you know, you're learning on the fly, getting your project done.
Win-win, man. That's what I'm talking about. I love that. So tell us a little bit about Insight for this year, right? I mean, we were talking about a little bit earlier, upcoming quarters. What do you see happening with foreclosures, you know, within the immediate future?
Immediate future? I don't think we're going to see a lot in the immediate future. It just depends on Congress, on what they want to do. You know, once we have a new president come in, he'll kind of set the tone. And we'll see what happens with the Senate in Georgia. But I think that's going to kind of set the tone on where foreclosures may end up. If there's going to be a lot of resources put towards preventing foreclosures from happening and working with homeowners, or the opposite, whereas that they're going to let people start, they're going to start foreclosing on people and not moving into forbearance and extended payments out and putting them on the back end of some of the loans. So I don't think not the first, not Q1, we won't see a lot, but maybe toward the end of Q2. And of course, you know, depending on how bad, you know, COVID is and vaccines, all that's dynamic,
right?
You know, to kind of predict how it goes, because all that has a bearing on what Congress wants to do once they get in, if it's, you know, all Democrat, if it's, you know, the Republicans keep the Senate, you know, who knows? But I think I don't think they're going to let '08 happen again, whereas that the volume of people losing their houses coming on at one time and with those negative assets on the bank's lending sheets. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you brought up an interesting point there when you're talking about Congress. So I look at my apartment window, I see the Capitol, and I wish I could report that I see them doing things, but usually I don't. But jokes aside, they, you know, so this is recording. It's January 2nd right now. So, you know, you mentioned the runoff election in Georgia, which is going down in a couple of days. But when this recording comes out, it'll be like a February timeframe, something like that. So maybe, you know, it'll be after the inauguration. Who knows, you know, what's going to happen. But Congress has passed, and our current president has signed a bill into law that includes $25 billion in rental assistance. So it's not one of those things that you've heard on. It's the same bill that has the $600 stimulus check, right? That everyone gets, you know, if you qualify, you get the $600 check. Something that, you know, I just want to bring up in open discussion here with both is the $25 billion in rental stimulus. And it's a very, very interesting program. And I actually went in and read the law on this and was able to kind of sift through and attend some conferences with people way smarter than me. But there's a couple main points here that's super interesting. Number one, the payments go directly to the landlord or property manager. They don't go to the tenant. So it's unlike the stimulus check, but you need to, there's a lot of qualification that has to happen, but it's all going to be run by the states and the local cities. And it's going to be run through the HUD offices. So whoever regulates that, you know, I'm sure, you know, the feds aren't going to like, there's not going to be like federal website where you apply for this. It's going to be through the states. So, you know, wherever your rentals are, if you have had people fall behind on rent, it's really cool. They're doing 9 months, up to 9 months of past rent. So if you had someone who has not paid rent for 9 months, like God bless you in your house, you know, you can, you can qualify up to receive as a landlord. Yeah. I made Mike's raising his hand. You can qualify to get 9 months of that rent back in assistance.
Maybe. Right. Maybe Monday.
Three your rent. So if they're still struggling, you can get, you know, that's how it works, right? But there's a lot of questions and how it's going to go down, because it's going to, so keep an eye on your state. But what I've done already is I talked to my property manager. Number one, I informed him that this was going down. He's like, wow, we haven't even heard of this. It's like, thank you, because we manage an apartment building out in a different part of town that, like, there's only like three tenants in the entire building who are able to pay rent. And like, our landlord is just not in a good place right now, but like, now we can help him out with this. But there's a lot of qualifying things. The one, number one thing that I'll end this on, because I want you guys to look up this information, and maybe Mike and I need to do a whole episode on this. But you can't apply for the assistance on behalf of your tenant alone. Your tenant has to sign some paperwork saying that, like, yes, I need to qualify for this. So as a landlord, you can't say like, this person hasn't paid rent and I'm going to, you know.
There it goes. Yeah, there goes my shot at it. Okay, for those of y'all who have been following, you know, this, and you're faithful listeners to this podcast, you guys know the struggles I'm having in Pittsburgh with this duplex that I have. There's one tenant, the same tenant, still in there, still have not been able to get them out because of this moratorium. So I am so for this moratorium to end and just be done with it, because good Lord, man. Yep.
But you should be able to apply. You should be able to apply for this for at least, 9 months of that past rent.
I can apply, but getting them to sign it is going to be the hard thing. And I almost guarantee you they're not going to sign it, because it's, I don't know what it is. It's like they're not paying out of spite or out of something. I don't even know. I have no idea what I did to them. We've had variations. You know, every single one of our conversations have been cordial, but for some reason, they just have not been paying rent. Even the time they were ordered to pay, they still didn't even pay. Right? It's wild. I have no idea what's going on, dude. So anyway, I'm sorry. That's a tangent, guys. But anyway.
It's probably got something to do with your face. Just
probably my
no
face.
One likes you.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Probably Navy too, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yes. I did tip off all your tenants that you were Navy and they should only deal with Air Force people. So mm-hmm. That's cool. Why Johnny's here.
Right. Well, I'm going to send you to
the property. Yeah, I did want to share that. I did want to share that. So like that whole thing. So guys, look into this and look up for summaries of it, because it's like 550 pages of the, you know, of the law. I don't want you all to go and read 550 pages, but there's summaries of it out there. There's blog posts about it now. Look it up and keep an eye on what your local your state and city are going to do to help people through this, because And I mean, I hate to say it, but it's going to be a bit of a money grab. And like any government handout, it's going to be ripe for fraud and exploitation.
That's true.
And it's going to be one of those things, just like PPP and just like EIDL. It's going to be one of those things where it's going to be like, you know, get it while the getting's good, because then it's gone. And yeah, so.
That's it. All right, man. Good word.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, Johnny, listen, brother, this has been an incredible episode here so far, man. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your wisdom on foreclosures with us. I'm going to take you into our bonus round. We've got four final questions for you. Question number one, what is your favorite book?
So for me, it's had a lot of impact on me, but definitely Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. It's had the most profound impact on my real estate investing. And I'll say the more so the mindset of just as a business owner, as an investor, you know, regardless of the asset of real estate, that it was a good game changer.
Yeah, that's a great book, man. And we will have links to that book in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, if you're listening out there and you haven't read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, go and take a weekend. It's changed my life. It's changed Johnny's life. I'm sure it's changed Mike's life. Changed so many lives, literally millions and millions of people out there who just to think about finances in a different way. And I highly, highly encourage you to get that book, click on the show notes, get that book and begin your journey. Cause it will at a very minimum, make you think about things differently. Johnny, question number two, who is your biggest hero and why?
Man, my parents, hands down. My mom and dad, they were instrumental in, you know, instilling me the core values that I have right now to this day, and just the person who I am. And, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices that they made and other people in my family made for me to be where I am today. So I owe them an enormous amount of gratitude for everything they've done for me. And just love them to death. So.
Incredible. Awesome, man. Love that.
Yeah. So final question for you here. If you had three nuggets to pass on to a newbie military real estate investor who's listening to this podcast and is thinking like, gosh, foreclosures, that might be my avenue. What nuggets would you pass on to them?
The first one, definitely take action. Take action. Do not overanalyze. You know, you can read books, you can listen to podcasts, and, you know, you can consume as much content as you want to. But nothing would beat actually getting off the bench and actually getting your hands dirty. Not literally, just figuratively, but getting your hands dirty with actually doing a project and getting it done. You're going to learn a heck of a lot. You might make some mistakes, but that goes into the second one. Find a mentor. The mentor is there to prevent you from making a lot of the same mistakes that he or she has made or other people in his or her network have made. And that was one thing that I look back on. I probably should have found a mentor sooner rather than later. And I still don't really have a formal mentor that's I'm under their wing or anything like that. But it took me longer, which is fine. I appreciate the journey, but I'll say find a mentor or somebody, a group organization. You guys are phenomenal with giving back and providing value to real estate investors, with giving them the tools they need to be successful. And then, you know, the third one is networking, just being able to build your network. And, you know, you never know who it is and what they can bring that can help you with your journey. And that's something that I learned. Networking, you know, joining a mastermind group last year was phenomenal. And it provided so much value to me in my business, my personal life, just the quality of relationships I was able to build. And it took my business and, you know, where I'm going now with multifamily syndication, it took all of this to another level for me. And I just encourage people, get out there, network with other like-minded investors. Don't have a scarcity mindset. There's more than enough real estate out here for everyone, and more than enough money to be made for everyone out here. That just attract the right people and align yourself with the right people that have the same values and goals as you, and get out there and crush it.
Get out there and crush it. Love it. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, listen, man, this has been great. Thank you so much again for all the wisdom that you've shared with us. How can our listeners get in touch with you, man?
Yep. So they can find me a couple places. Johnny Lynam on Facebook. Just launched my YouTube channel earlier this week on YouTube. So Johnny Lynam there as well. And my website, Op Invest Now, Operation Invest. My goal is to to assist 1,000 people, 1,000 individuals become financially free. That's my goal. That's my my mission that we're going through with Operation Invest, and real estate's that vehicle that we leverage. So,
outstanding, man. That's awesome. Love it. Great mission. All right, man. Well, thank you again so much, brother. Really appreciate your time. Yeah, keep going out there and kicking some ass.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's my pleasure, man. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening to this out there and you got some value, go ahead and screenshot this and send it to someone who can get some value. Click those two buttons on your phone, screenshot that thing, send it off to someone, or, you know, go ahead. And, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we'd love, click the subscribe button, go review us. That'd be really helpful. It helps us get the message out, and it helps actually tailor. We want to keep growing this show, and, you know, the better we get on there, I guess that means Apple Podcasts blasts it out to more people and we could change more lives. That's what it's about. So we really appreciate your time, Johnny. This is really cool. And we'll have to get out on the golf course, man.
Most definitely, man. Most definitely. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right. We'll see it.
Take care.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest, and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.